Rax Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. It's no secret that many doctors are overwhelmed with the amount of work they're expected to perform. At the last annual scientific congress for the college in May this year, ENT surgeon Dr. Eric Levi delivered a plenary talk titled Broken Doctors, Broken Symptoms. He highlighted how doctors are increasingly burdened to complete non-clinical tasks in addition to their medical work, all of which can lead to burnout and depression. It's a topic which isn't openly discussed, despite the large numbers of medical professionals who suffer from burnout and mental health issues. Dr. Levi relays to Chris Ashmore a study by Beyond Blue of 12,000 doctors and medical students in 2013. The numbers are quite stark.
One in five doctors have been previously diagnosed with depression. One in four doctors or clinicians have had thoughts of suicide in the past. And one in 50, so 2%, have actually considered or even attempted suicide. Now, this means that in a typical surgical department, one in every four of our colleagues have thought about suicide. And that is something that is obviously not openly discussed in our tea rooms and coffee meetings or our MDMs, but it is certainly something that affects us personally and as a team.
Well, they're incredible numbers, really. And how would you know if somebody has the signs or symptoms of depression or mental health, the people around you that you're working with?
I'm very mindful here that as we speak about depression and perhaps even suicide, that there are among us perhaps listening to this podcast who have thought about suicide. We will know or we may know somebody directly who have perhaps suicided or made an attempt at suicide. So I'm being mindful that this is a subject that is very emotive and deep and very effective for some people. Now, let me be very clear as well. We often use the term in the media, in our discussion, the terms depression, the term mental health, the term burnout. We have to be careful in the whether or not these terms are in fact interchangeable or not. Specifically, depression is a mental health condition. Now, I have to say that I'm not a psychiatrist, and most of the listeners to this podcast are not psychiatrists. We are surgeons, and therefore we shy away from psychological conditions or psychological diagnosis. But the depression is a well-known DSM-4 mental health category of a state of psychology where we have loss of pleasure in life, loss of drive to life, losing interest in the things that we used to find interesting, losing passion and general low mood. And this is a spectrum from mild, moderate to severe, which may be related to suicidality. And the funny thing is, one of those things is where we know when we experience it, but we may have trouble expressing it. And we know perhaps when somebody else is experiencing it, but we may have trouble actually pointing it out to the other person that that's what's going through. So depression is a DSM-4 psychological mental health category, whereas burnout is perhaps a totally different thing. And burnout is a state of psychology that is not a mental health diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Burnout is a state where it is characterized by a low efficiency, emotional exhaustion, and also a high cynicism or disillusionment, some people say. So burnout is a psychological state, but not a mental health diagnosis. Depression is a mental health diagnosis. And we may see that the symptoms may be the same, but the source or the cause or the etiology may be different in mm-hmm. different people.
Mm-hmm. But burnout can contribute to depression.
And indeed, that is the challenge. There's a lot of study at the moment trying to tease out, firstly, the causes of depression, and also the other thing is, on the flip side, the causes of burnout. And there's lots of studies to say whether or not they are one and the same thing, where they are causative or they are correlative. Essentially, we do know that these negative states of emotions are affecting each other and influencing each other. As to whether or not burnout directly causes depression or the other way around, It's still to be debated in the psychological and psychiatric literature, but we know that the ultimate effect is a person, a colleague, or ourselves who are not functioning at their best and potentially on the edge of potential emotional collapse and potential suicidality.
Well, now we're starting to get an understanding of what the problem is, but you say there's a problem with the problem. What do you mean?
So if we think about the problem of depression, burnout, mental health challenges in our colleagues, the problem with that problem is that we've frame that in the context of a person when we perhaps should frame that in the context of a system. What I mean by that is oftentimes we talk about burnout as if it was due to a lack of resilience of a person, when perhaps we should think of it as, could burnout be a long-term psychological sequelae of an occupational repetitive stress? Again, we have to be very clear here. If you have been diagnosed with depression or other mental health condition, you do need the help of a professional mental health provider or clinician. That is very clear, and we strongly support and encourage anyone with a diagnosis of mental health disorder to have a GP, to be engaged with a GP, to see a counselor, a psychologist, psychiatrist. So that's what has to do with the care of depression or any other mental health illness. But in the context of burnout, we often simplify simplistically the problem as being an individual problem, and perhaps we need to look at the institutional factors. Burnout may be due to repetitive chronic occupational stress causing a negative outcome in the person. So therefore, rather than just pointing out that somebody just needs more resilience, perhaps we need to think about some of the simpler things, such as how is their work situation, their rotation, their amount of work or pressure from other parts, such as administration, non-clinical pressure. We know that medicine and surgery today is different to what it used to be. Right now, there's a lot more different jurisdictions that comes in and intrudes on our day-to-day practice. Our operative times are being measured all the time. Our operative performance are being measured all the time. When we finish late, we get penalized. When we finish our operating list early, we get penalized as well. And all of the regulation that comes around the life of a surgeon, that's putting a lot of limitations, restrictions, and boundaries to our day-to-day practice. And all of that causes erosion little by little by little to the emotional health of a surgeon, and that's something that we just need to think about very carefully to see whether or not there are institutional issues that need to be addressed rather than the problem of just the individual.
Well, are we thinking about it enough? Are the solutions we have in dealing with the well-being of doctors, are they adequate?
I think this has become foremost in the mind of many people, many leaders, the College of Surgeons, and the community themselves. So I think there are great inroads and initiatives around this area. There's a momentum that has begun and that has been built over the last 2 to 3 years. And I know this because I've noticed that the issue of mental health, burnout, and depression has become a topic of discussion in many colleges and meetings and conferences. Almost always now there is a section on mental health or support or well-being or doctors' well-being in some of our medical colleges. So that's great. So I think there is a great momentum. The College of Surgeons has got the strong campaign of operating with respect. And I think this is a natural extension, a great natural extension of that campaign, where to be a surgeon that operates with respect, we also need to be a surgeon who is respectfully aware of the health of the people that we work with, our colleagues. And therefore, I think there are great initiatives already. Now, I think we still need to do more, and this is not something that is just a lip service. I think we still need a bit of time to make sure that down on the ground, the individual surgeons, trainees, IMGs, and everyone that's been associated with the College of Surgeons do feel that they are well supported and there are avenues to treat this problem.
Now, you have 3 C's, 3 practical things people can do to tackle mental health. Can you walk us through each one?
I'm going to go a little bit bigger by saying that it's probably not just specific to mental health, but to institutional health as it relates to the person's mental health. So we presented a talk at the most recent RACS conference in conjunction with the College of Anesthesia. And during that plenary session, we spoke about the fact that we have measured the challenge of mental health in our workplaces, and we have talked about the challenge of institutional health in our workplaces, but we have to become practical in the way we think about the solution. And there were three C's that we suggested. Number one is core, number two is champion, and number three is culture. Now I'll go through each of them briefly here. Core, what do I mean by core? A core is what we do as a surgeon, the core business. There's an interesting study in the US when we talk about job satisfaction in relation to meaningful work. And a study showed that if you did about 20% of work in your typical week that you find meaningful, your job satisfaction is going to be extremely high. And so what this study shows, for example, is that if you devote 20% of your time doing something that you find meaningful on a day-to-day basis, you're going to have really high job satisfaction. And this hits a ceiling. What I mean by that is if you did 30%, 40%, or 50%, you're still going to get a very similar job satisfaction. And what is the meaningful work? Now, it will be different to different surgeons. For some surgeon, it is teaching, lecturing. For another surgeon, it is operating on a particular condition. For another surgeon, it is producing papers, publishing papers. For another surgeon, it is leadership and teamwork. Something that you find meaningful in your particular area of work. And if you devote 20% of your schedule to doing that, you're going to have a high job satisfaction. So that was number one. Find your core business. As a surgeon, what do you find most meaningful? And devote at least 20 minutes of your working week or working day to doing that. And that might give you good job satisfaction, and that might actually help with dealing with the pressures of work or burnout that you might experience. So that's number one, that's core. And number two is champion. Find a champion in your department. There will always be somebody, one or two person in your department that is interested in the welfare and well-being of their colleagues. This person may not have a formal title of a welfare officer, of a social secretary or anything like that, but someone in your department would consider this to be an important part of their role in the department. Tap that person and just say, look, we know that we have this problem of mental health, depression, burnout in our community. What can we do about it? And once you find that champion in your department, in your institution, you are going to catalyze the work, meet together, find simple solutions as an institution and as a department to move forward in dealing with these issues. And number three is culture, and obviously this is the hard one. And there's a lot of things that comes bottom up, but for this particular issue, I think our experience has been that it is a top-down thing. So if a leader sets the tone and says, we're going to look after each other, we're going to focus on some of this issue, we're going to find practical solutions as a department, that seems to get everyone else going much faster and much quicker. And the College of Surgeons has been great in doing that. There's a peer group support right now going on. There is the Operating with Respect. They have provided multiple avenues of phone support and help. There are other programs available. And there is, I can feel, as a community, as a college, there is momentum being built in this area where we just want to say, look, we're going to lead the way here. We're going to think about this issue. We're going to tackle this issue because it is so prevalent in our community. And I'm going to go back again to the clear bottom line here. When you have been diagnosed with a mental health issue, one of the simplest and most practical things that you can do is find yourself a GP or a mental health professional to assist you in that. Now, when we talk about the institutional health and the occupational health and the burnout issues, that's something that we as an institution need to change the culture of. And I think the College of Surgeons have been quite exemplary in this region, leading the way, almost becoming examples to the other colleges around Australia. And therefore, I commend the College of Surgeons for thinking and considering and discussing this matter.
Dr. Eric Levi. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network. the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Bongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.